standing on its own feet spiritually. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was to begin with a Sabbath day, a high day. Now let's go back to John. Jesus has died. Verse 31. The Jews, therefore, John 19, page 140, if you have a Bible like mine. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. Naming the day. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Anything wrong with the bodies laying on the cross on Passover day? Things were slain on Passover day. But the Jews, because this day of crucifixion, when Christ's body was dead on the cross, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Now, the next line would be totally unnecessary in verse 31 if Jesus had been crucified on Friday. If he had been crucified on Friday, there would be no reason to add this parenthetical next statement, because the law is the same, whether it's a high Sabbath, a special Sabbath, or a regular Sabbath, that you don't leave those bodies on the cross on the Sabbath day. If it was an ordinary Sabbath, all you need to say, it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Parenthesis. For that Sabbath day was an high day. Three days and three nights in the tomb to fulfill the prophetic meaning of Jonah in the belly of the whale, the only sign God would condescend to. Friday night and Saturday and raising Sunday morning, by no stretch of the imagination, is 3 days and three nights. He was eating his Sabbath meal with the disciples Tuesday night. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, was betrayed, arrested, illegally tried before Caiaphas, taken to Pilate and Herod, crucified still between the evens on Wednesday. Put in the tomb at sundown Wednesday night. Laid in the tomb till sundown Thursday, that's one. Till sundown Friday, that's two. Till sundown Saturday, that's 3 days and three nights. And the Greek has it equally applicable to the rising of the moon as well as the rising of the sun, that he, at that moment when the Sabbath day ended Saturday and the first day of the week began on Saturday evening, not sunrise. These sunrise services are commemorating heathen practices and the worship of Tammuz and the worship of the sun and Nimrod and Baal. Jesus rose shortly after sundown as the moon began to rise, exactly at the time he was laid in the tomb. Exactly 72 hours later, he came out of the tomb. Now, I could tell you there are references of the girls. One reference says that they bought the spices, the things that were necessary to prepare his body, and then rested on the Sabbath day. And then at the end of the Sabbath day, another record has it, they came with the spices to anoint his body. If he died on Friday, there was no way they could, by any Jewish law, go out and buy the spices. Everybody agrees he was buried at sundown. If he was buried at sundown Friday, the Sabbath started, and they could not buy the spices. But if he was buried on Wednesday, Thursday is high Sabbath, Friday is free day, they can buy the spices on Friday. There is a Jewish law that involves the matzo balls and other such things in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There is 3 days of mourning that they must by law keep. And at the end of 3 days, having bought the spices on Friday, rested on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday. They then go looking for the sepulcher on Saturday evening, the beginning of the first day of the week after sundown. Now, what's this do to a so-called discrepancy? Let me read it again. Luke 23:54, regarding the day of crucifixion. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And what did we read earlier in the 23rd chapter? Or 22nd chapter? Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. The Passover was the whole feast, including unleavened bread, feast of first fruits, and Passover day itself. Passover was the first day. Passover was the whole week. Passover was the meal. Passover was the sacrifice. And in order to be very precise, to distinguish Passover day from Passover week and other things that are happening within the week, such as the high Sabbath, Passover itself was called exactly what it is, preparation for living in unleavened bread. That the type might be fulfilled, that what Christ did is preparation for the life in the Spirit. So now what's that do to them saying Christ was crucified the day before the Passover? The preparation of the Passover is Passover day, not the day before. Now they say concerning Luke and Matthew and Mark that they said he was crucified after the Passover. Well, let's check that one out. Read the whole thing. Chapter 22. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Chapter 22. So now we know that when Luke's talking, he's giving it the generic name that the entire feast, Passover day, and the feast of unleavened bread that immediately follows is all called the Passover. Chief priests, scribes sought how they might kill him. Satan entered into Judas. He went his way and communed with the chief priests. Seventh verse. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Luke's already given us his clue. He uses interchangeably, Luke uses his synonyms, unleavened bread and Passover. He just said that, didn't he? The feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Luke's not a practicing devout Jew. He takes the generic term. We use the term Lent. Many people who don't understand Catholicism without breaking it down into all of its parts. Unleavened bread and Passover is synonymous to Luke. He uses them interchangeably. But he also knows the difference between the day within the unleavened bread feast week or the Passover feast week, which is synonymous, the day in which the sacrifice is killed. You don't kill any sacrifice on the high day. You don't kill anything on. You don't do any work on the Sabbath day. So having set his frame of reference that unleavened bread and Passover as a feast period is synonymous in Luke's usage, he then begins to break it into parts. Seventh verse, then came the day of unleavened bread. The day within the feast period called by him unleavened bread or Passover, the day when the Passover must be killed. And he is using the term Passover to apply to the sacrifice. Haven't I just told you that the word Passover means day, week, ritual, meal, and the sacrifice itself? Here, Luke is using Passover and unleavened bread as a synonymous term for the whole holy period. But he says, then came the day of the whole period, unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he uses the word Passover to refer only to the sacrifice. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. Now he's using the word Passover interchangeably with meal. Quite proper. The context tells you what he's talking about. To anybody that pays attention, 15th verse, 13th verse, and 11th verse, I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. 13th verse, they made ready the Passover. 15th verse, eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Then he and Peter have the exchange about Peter's denial. They then go to the garden and the Mount of Olives. He's then captured and taken by the soldiers. Peter denies his Lord. He's eaten the Passover feast on Tuesday night, the beginning of the unleavened bread or Passover period. The Passover lamb has been slain for the home meal, and he's eaten it with his disciples. He's prayed, and is still between the evens, and he's captured. They try him before Caiaphas all week, all night long, and mock him. And the 66th verse of Luke 22 says, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together. This is the morning of Passover day now. Understood? Go into the 23rd chapter. We find Herod, while they're trying him before Pilate on the morning of the 14th, is at Jerusalem. Why would Herod be at Jerusalem from Galilee? It's Passover, when all Jews were required to go to Jerusalem. I'm warning you. I'll be right back. I'm challenging the assumption of the Holy Blood, Holy Grail writers that there is contradiction between John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke and their report of the crucifixion event. They said that John says he was crucified the day before Passover, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke say that he was crucified the day after Passover. We have looked at John already and found that the problem with Bagehot, Lee, and Lincoln, they didn't take the trouble to put themselves into the word frame of the Hebrew people and understand that Passover had abundant meanings. There's an attempt on the part of other languages that try to embrace their thought frame and their ritualistic patterns to give distinction and meaning. But the Hebrew language is a language of very few words, a small vocabulary. One word means many things, and the context gives you its meaning. And a simple word, Passover, in the Hebrew, when someone attempts to translate it into another language, they tend to bog down unless they know the total religious frame where one word meant many things and the context determines the inflection of meaning. To Luke, as we've seen, Passover and unleavened bread were synonymous terms, and he was right, because Passover was a holy period that started on the 14th of the month and ended at the close of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As I put it on the board, it included the 14th of the month from sundown the 13th until sundown the 14th was Passover day. Immediately at the close of Passover day, sundown of the 14th until sundown of the 15th was the first day of the feast period itself, and that was to be a holy convocation or a high day under Sabbath law. It then proceeded for 7 days, and the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was another high holy day, high Sabbath, annual Sabbath, not a weekly Sabbath. In the total period of time, you would embrace an ordinary Sabbath, and it would still be treated as an ordinary Sabbath, but within the time frame would also be two special annual Sabbaths, which were high holy convocation days under the law of Sabbath, no work to be done. Passover had activity. The first day after Passover was a Sabbath, high day, no activity. Ordinary Sabbaths within the period still were ruled by Sabbath law. And within the period there also was the feast on the first day of the week that occurred within the holy period of first fruits. The entire period, the whole week, was Passover. The entire period was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The entire period had that synonymous term. But if you wanted to use the word and break it down, it also meant Passover meant the sacrifice. Passover meant the day when the sacrifice was offered that was specifically called the Passover sacrifice. The Paschal Lamb was offered at that time and no other time. This Passover also referred to the meal that was partaken of between the evens. The sacrifice that was offered, and any one of them of the Paschal Lambs that was offered between the evens. And it also referred to the full period. You got that? Now, did Luke say that the crucifixion occurred after Passover? No. Luke 22, verse 1 says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." He tells you going out the gate that he uses Passover and unleavened bread synonymous. He then says, too hot in here. Verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed." If you are speaking of, let's talk about Easter vacation for college students. "Then came the day when Easter vacation began." That's all he's saying in the seventh verse. "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed." Well, immediately we now know he's talking about Passover day, which was the first day of the total period called the Passover, the total period synonymously called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Passover day was the day when the Passover sacrifice. He doesn't say the Passover sacrifice. He's not using Passover as an adjective because it's a synonym. "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed." Now, let me read it the way those not in the know would say it should be read. "Then came the day of Passover when the Passover must be killed." Were we killing the day or the... So being a historian writing not to Jews, he generically uses Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover is a holy period. Within the holy period, there are certain days that have a distinction from other days. Within the holy period, called Unleavened Bread, came the day when the Passover must be killed. There's no punctuation in the original Greek. And when that day began, when did it begin? Begin at sundown. So at sundown, because Deuteronomy 16:6 says that the Passover must be slain and the meal must be eaten between the evenings, not at even, as the King James has it. The literal is between the evenings. The families could kill the Passover lamb and partake of the Passover meal as early as immediately after sundown on the 14th, on the 13th, by our calendar, when the 14th starts. Their day started on Tuesday night. They could partake of the individual meal on Tuesday evening and still participate in the ritual public service of the slaying of the Paschal Lamb on the following day, still between the evenings. Correct? So we start out on Tuesday night, and he sends his disciples to prepare a Passover. They prepare it. He eats it. That's the Last Supper. Goes to Garden of Gethsemane, is captured and tried all night before Caiaphas. Verse 66 says, "As soon as it was day, the elders and the chief priests came together." That's the morning of the 14th. 23rd chapter, 7th verse, we find as they take him to Pilate. Pilate learns he's from Galilee, sends him to Herod. Herod's jurisdiction is Galilee because Herod happened to be in Jerusalem. Why? Because all Jews came to Jerusalem for the Passover. Keep going. He then is slain that day. The same day, right? The same day on the Hebrew calendar, that is the day that the Passover must be slain. But to these Holy Blood, Holy Grail people, it's a 1982 calendar. And because Jesus eats the Passover at evening and is crucified the next day, and it's called the day of the Passover, therefore, he is in Luke, according to Bagehot, Lee, and Lincoln, slain the day after the Passover. Because they can't make the connection that it's a Hebrew day that begins on the evening of the previous day. So he can eat a midnight supper on Tuesday night and be slain at 12 noon or 9 a.m. or 6 p.m. in the evening, any time during the day. And you're still within the same day, the day the Passover is slain, the day the Passover lamb is killed, the Passover day, which John calls quite properly the day of preparation, because it's the preparation for the high holy day that will follow, which begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In verse 54 of the 23rd chapter, when they take his body off the cross, Luke, consistent with John, says that day, namely the day that the Passover was slain, was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, which John specifies is not an ordinary Sabbath, but the high Sabbath, because it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that Numbers 28 makes very clear must be a high convocation or Sabbath day. Same meaning. Now, did Luke say he was slain the day after? Or does Luke say he's slain on the same day from sundown to sundown that he ate the Passover, which was the Passover day? Huh? And don't both Luke and John point out that Passover, the day that the Passover is slain, is preparation day, because it's preparation for the high holy convocation on the Feast of Unleavened Bread that begins the night of Wednesday night, and Thursday is Sabbath, Friday's a free day in that particular year, ordinary Sabbath on Saturday, sundown Saturday, 3 days and three nights have passed, he's raised from the tomb, and the first day of the week, they go and find the tomb empty, and that's the Feast of First Fruits. And God, who is a God of set times, had his son die on Passover, be laid in the tomb at the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, raised from the tomb exactly on time, the Feast of the First Fruits. And if it happened 1 year earlier or 1 year later, then the first day of the week would have been a day off, and he would have had to lay in the tomb either 2 days or 4 days. Only thing I want communicated to you is these jacklegs didn't do their homework. Yeah, 90% of other preachers don't do it either. And the tragedy is that most of Christianity can't answer these kind of guys because they don't do their homework either. The stupid traditions have made void the Word of God, and Good Friday has dominated us down through the centuries and had to put it on Friday in order to go along with the heathen when Christ didn't raise on, wasn't put in the tomb on Friday at all. Didn't die on Friday at all. Where does Friday business come from? Well, let's see. It's a nice little book. I gave it away one Sunday. Ralph Woodrow, Babylon Mystery Religion. The word Friday comes from the name Freya, who was regarded as the goddess of peace, joy, and fertility by the ancient pagans. And as the symbol of her fertility, the fish was regarded as being sacred to her. Now, the fish has from earliest times been a symbol of fertility. It was a well-known symbol, it's too cold in here now, of fertility among the ancient Babylonians as well as the Assyrians, Phoenicians, the Chinese, and others. The very word fish comes from the original word dag, implying increase or fertility in essence. The reason for the fish was used as a symbol of... Oh, that's so obvious, no sense bothering you with it. The reason it's a symbol of fertility, have you ever counted their eggs? Codfish annually spawn upwards of 9 million eggs. Thus, the fish has been a symbol of sexual fertility associated with the goddess of fertility, Freya, Friday. Now we begin to see the significance between eating fish on Friday. I get so tired of going into restaurants and getting clam chowder on Friday. The Romans called the goddess of sexual fertility by the name Venus. Hence, venereal diseases. Friday was guarded as her sacred day. And the fish was sacred to her. In view of these things, concerning Friday being named after the goddess of sexual fertility, Friday being the day that from olden times was regarded as her sacred day, and since the fish was her sacred symbol, seems like more than a mere coincidence that to this day, fish is eaten on Friday as a special day. Friday was already a sacred day, and because they didn't do their homework, and it became clear that a Sabbath followed, the Sabbath followed the day of Passover and crucifixion. Remember, the medieval church hated Jews and hunted them down like animals. The medieval church was totally unfamiliar with the meaning of Passover and the typical meanings of these Old Testament feast days that Paul says were a shadow of things to come. They did not teach the tabernacle. They did not teach the feast days in order to give people an understanding of the unfolding message in Christ to fulfill these days. So a quick decision was made. Friday is already a holy day that already married to the heathen practice, because if you can't whip them, you join them. And Jesus was crucified the day before the Sabbath. Therefore, they knew about the Sabbath, so they simply concluded that Jesus must have been crucified on Friday, and they warped the truth, and they already wanted him to be raised on a Sunday because they were worshiping on that day anyway, by decree. Again, an adaptation from the mystery religions. And I'm not a Sabbatarian. In the New Testament, the life of faith is the Sabbath. I worship God every day. I don't care what day of the week it is, and no special day means anything in the New Testament frame, because the day has been substituted with a life of faith. It just happens to be convenient because more people are out of work on Sunday for a preacher to call a crowd together. However, they made Sunday something, the Sunday, and Friday was something, and the Sabbath day was encompassed by two heathen celebration days. So by decree, Christ was crucified on Friday. It came to be called Good Friday, Good Freya. And he rose on Sunday morning at daylight, because the heathen priests and the heathens were already going out at sunrise to worship the sun anyway. So again, if you can whip them, you join them. And error was perpetuated through the church, and these guys didn't do their homework, and they would shake our faith by saying that John contradicts Matthew, Mark, and Luke by not understanding that the Passover was a generic term for the whole period, for a day, for the sacrifice, for the meal, and for an experience within it, that the day itself was generically called preparation, the day of preparation, because it prepared the person for the whole religious holiday that followed, and not doing their homework, they set out and make asses of themselves. Are you convinced? Do I have to go to Matthew and Mark? But I can tell you that Matthew and Luke almost totally utilize Mark's rendition, and Luke is simply quoting for the most part Mark's rendition of the event, which he got from Peter. But these jerks wouldn't know it. They don't know the difference between a synoptic gospel and cynicism. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
The Christian faith needs applied brain power just like anything else, and it's time somebody say it. And if you agree, get on the phone and talk to me. The song is "I Want to Know." I got a lot more to go. That's what I'm telling you. When we get to this section, we may camp out on a few paragraphs to keep their error from being perpetuated.